I'm in a farmhouse here just outside Swanling Bar, and I'm talking to James Burley.
Yes.
James, where do you live yourself?
Just at that, down the Swanling Bar Road, on the main Swanling Bar and Eskillen Road, down at Drummock, Derry Leicester.
And this is your uncle's farm?
Yes, my mother and my uncle's farm here in the south of Erin here. I've crossed the border all the days of my life, every day.
And where did you grow up yourself?
At Florence Court, just further down at Florence Court, yes. And I went to live with an uncle of mine up on a mountain farm when I was about 14 or 15 years of age. I went there.
All right.
And another uncle there on the northern side of the border.
I see.
Baker.
Yeah. And always farming.
Yes.
That was your life and the people before you.
Yes, yes. Worked on farms. My both uncles' farms now.
Yeah.
And I worked on my father's farm when I was a young boy too, like, at home.
Imagine. So, tell me about your early days. You were born in 1938,
yes.
So you kind of grew up long before the Troubles.
Oh, yes.
Was everybody getting on okay?
Yes, lovely. You trust your neighbours, your neighbour, and you went to your neighbour's house, and you killed and the children played amongst them. They never knew what our religion was, each side of the family. Went to school in Florence Court, finished school when I was 14, had very, very little education, none. And there was a teacher in the school, and she used to go down and chat to the mistress in the post office and left us in school on her own. Left school when I was 14 then, and stayed with my father for a lot of years, went away to my uncle then.
To work with him
in
the farm?
Yes, yeah.
And were you Church of Ireland?
Yes.
And So you were brought up in that tradition. What was the name of the school?
The old Gate Hall School, Florence School.
And the teacher that didn't stay in the classroom and left you inside?
She was a Miss Gilmer.
Miss Gilmer?
Yes, yes. She come from Saban, or way down the country, and she stopped in she taken lodgers in the wee house down the road, Rooney's wee house. She come to school there, and she'd come in the morning, she'd light the big fire, and she'd stay around in front of it, and the next thing she'd make an excuse, she'd go down to chat the post office down below, and she'd chat the old lady in the post office to wait the whole day.
Leaving you all in the
class? In the school, yes, about 20 of us in the school, and we're jumping and playing around. Maybe go to the well for bring a bucket of water home, bring a bucket of water to the school. The teacher used to make tea for herself. And maybe who'd ever go for the water, they might stay away the half of the day. call the roll, and that was all ever she done.
Yeah.
However.
And Florence Court itself, was it a nice place?
Oh, yes. We kind of a village area. Walked to school, brought your lunch with you.
Yeah.
Often went me bare feet to school.
Did you?
Yeah, many's a time. Well, a whole lot of ones did that time.
Yeah. I suppose
they wear nice shoes to school and have to take them off then before they go into school. But good luck to them.
But there wasn't a lot of money in those days, but people were generally happy, were they? Or
very, very, very happy, yes. Yes, there was no money. In fact, there was no money in a lot of wee rural farms around there, and there was no money.
Yeah.
There was several neighbours round beside me, daddy and round there too, and then very little money either.
Yeah.
None. No.
So that farmer in the south and the farmer in the north is the same thing, isn't it?
Yes, very same at those years. Mm. There was no money north or south that came around the wee farms around the border.
But it having a farm on both sides of the border though, that was fun because I'm sure. Going back now to the 50s, say that you could easily, depending on the price of cattle, it was easier to move them around.
Oh, yes. There was no paperwork to animals that time. You see, if you got them home or got them there, you could, whatever, there was no accountable for them then. Now you have to be accountable for the whole tags and all.
Yeah. So that extra bit of income was deleted, gone.
Yes. Bit of smuggling, they used to call it that, to smuggle a few animals.
Yeah.
Different from one side to
the other. But it was the norm, wasn't it? The way of life.
Oh, yes, everyone, yes. Everyone was trying to get that few pound.
What was your uncle's name?
Edward Moffat, and my other uncle was James Borley, too, the same name as me.
Okay, so, and Edward?
Edward Moffat, here. Moffat.
Moffat.
M-O-F-F-I-T.
Oh, yeah, okay, it's quite an unusual surname,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, Edward Moffat. I've been known well in the wee village around here, too. Everyone had known him. And people talks about him on to this very day.
Go away.
Yeah.
And why is he so well known?
Ah, I knew he was an extra man. He'd work and work away. He had big hands and big hacks and just labouring, working on the farm.
Really?
Big, hardy hands on him, and he was strong as a horse. He had kept some horses and animals and things.
Yeah. And when you came in here as a young lad, were you... it was all new to you. And did you live with him then up in the house?
No, I didn't. Just come in now to him from my other uncle's farm, just shared between the two farms.
Oh, you come down during the daytime?
Yeah. My mother lived with... That brother was killed of mine. She lived with him then. He lived on the home place there. She was a sister of this Edward Moffat. She was Evelyn Moffat. My mother was Evelyn Moffat. This, my uncle was Eddie Moffat.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
They were reared up on the hill up here. The wee house. There was no electric light, no, there was no water. No, there was no toilets.
Really?
Oh, that was where all the rural farms was known.
Yeah.
No toilets, no water, no switches on the wall.
What a way. And you know, that's how
could,
you lived.
Yes, they could come out dressed up perfectly.
Yeah.
Washed and cleaned perfectly.
Yeah. And how they managed it, you know, it... Was farming more difficult then too, I suppose? You know, everything was manually done and...
Yes.
You didn't have the big tractors or the machinery.
Oh, no. There was very little sheds either. I used to build the whole hay just in stacks and pegs. There was no hay houses around. 1961, that was the year of the big wind. That's the first time the hay houses come in after that. That pegs of hay and things were built through the country and they were taken away. They were never seen after the wind on the 16th of September, 1961.
Really?
Yes. 110 miles an hour.
That's right. And did it destroy a lot of...
Oh, it done a lot of damage. There's still marks of old trees and things that I would... And woods and things that you could see yet. I would know them to stay.
Yeah.
Uprooted big old beech trees and the root of them still there yet.
I imagine.
Yeah.
God. And then you... slowly the things began to become mechanised and you had the introduction of the tractor and the...
Yes, all got into all big machineries and big sheds and slatted sheds and the round bales of silo and pits of silo and all that come in then.
And was there any tillage or was it all dairy?
Oh, yes, everybody. It was compulsory tillage for a long number of years at the start. You had to have so many acres of thing. It depends on your farm, what it was suitable for.
And what did you grow?
Just potatoes and corn and stuff like that was growing, yes. You had to grow, it was compulsory.
Yeah. Right. And getting from one place to the other as well was it must have been difficult. Travelling from one farm to the other, was it on a bike or was it in the car? It
might have been an old car at the start. That'd have been an old one. Then it got a bit better and better. You got a better one and better. That's the way it went on. There was very few cars around, even around Florence Cutting. It was a built up area around there and there was very few cars around. Only about 5 cows around there one time.
Everything was so quiet.
Yeah, the doctor and a couple of shopkeepers and the clergyman, that'd been the most of the cows.
Yeah.
The other cows, the rest of us had known. We didn't need cows and we weren't going very far, you know, all socials or bits of dances around local, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating indeed. And when it came to the troubles then,
Well, the troubles never took any effect on me. My neighbours never taken any effect on me. And most of my life and most of my people was Roman Catholic neighbours and my old friends was Roman Catholic neighbours. Yeah, that was my life. And I trusted them, every one of them, until the troubles started then and people got a bit suspicious about each other. Naming and blaming ones for doing such things and stuff like that.
What did you do? Did you get involved with the UDR, were you married?
No, I never was in any regiment. No, never was in any regiment, just farmed all my life. And my neighbours was just the same to me as anything else. Even when the troubles was going on, my neighbours were still the same. But you were suspicious and you heard your neighbours maybe talking about different ones, was involved in things.
Yeah.
And things started to go on around then, and people got annoyed about things then. And a brother was killed over then. He was on the UDR. He was a year and some months older than me.
What was his name?
Willie Bowley.
Oh, and how was he killed?
He was, a bomb was put underneath his car at a farm auction over at Knocknini Rock. Yeah. And there was just names of one suspicion for it, doing it, and that's the way it fallen.
Was anybody not held accountable?
No, it wasn't enough evidence to go on. They done an investigation on it then after some of the evidence had been lost. He was married and he had 4 boys and 1 girl too. They were only youngish family around the 20s and elder, younger than 20, 15 and 16.
And where did he live?
He lived at my home, the home place, Tatnamona, Flown School.
Oh, that must have been devastating for the family then.
Yeah. Yes, it didn't help the whole mixed all up then.
And I'm surprised that, you know, you didn't take any action, because even when your brother was killed...
Things would go through your head at the time, but something would tell you, just no good, never have any mothers lying on your hands, be clear of all that. It's nice to be able to put your head on the pillow at night and fall asleep. Now, would it clear your mind? That's me, no?
Did you go through life then being scared, like being worried about, you know, were you being targeted or, you know, were you being...
All Roman Catholic, I knew every one of them, and I never knew any of them have any reason to tamper with me, nor I never seen any of them tampering with me. Never. I'd went to public houses in the south of Ireland, had drinks and everything. I'd never seen a thing wrong with any person in there. And it would have been maybe 80% of Roman Catholics and 20% my religion. There was nothing wrong with any one of them as far as I was concerned.
Yeah. What about the farm here then? Is this farm... It's in the Republican side. It's not in Northern Ireland.
No.
But it's right near the border here.
Yeah, it's about 2 miles from the border. Just.
Yeah.
I went in and out here every day now this last 50, 60 years or so.
Did anybody ever live here?
Yes, an old uncle of mine lived in that wee house there. My mother and them was born up on the hill a wee bit further up here.
Oh, up that little
bore hill? Yes, there's an old disused house up there. Oh, it's all down now.
Yeah. And did they have any problems, you know, were they... Because they were so remote out there in the top of the hill.
No, my uncle and my mother never had any problems with anybody, no. Talking the same as store, just meet together.
Yeah. And the... So was there any problems with the land, or, you know, was there any difficulty in...
No, nobody, nobody interfered with me one way or the other. Well, I didn't give them any reason, and even if I had no reason, they didn't want any reason either. They didn't bother.
Yeah. Is it rough land or is it good land?
Oh, just rough land, yes. Rough grazing land, just.
Hard to make a bob out of it, though, I'd say.
Well, just for bits of farm payments and things, like single farm payments.
Yeah.
Just the way the seasons has changed now, wouldn't be in existence.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. I think your son has just arrived.
Oh, that'd be the grandson, eh?
Oh, it's your grandson?
Maybe it's his corn. Oh, it's the grandson. Oh,
he won't mind if I'm talking...
Oh, no.
Talking
no.
away to you
no,
for a
no,
while.
No.
It's... And how do the younger generation feel about all of this, I wonder?
Well, some of them wouldn't know a whole lot about it. Like, they wouldn't get interested one way or the other. Not for religion or anything like that, it means nothing to them. It wouldn't mean I would never, one wouldn't know what the other religion was, I don't think.
And people in Swanling Bar would say that, you know, that they, things were really difficult here because it was so many bombs went off in the village and roads were closed. Even your road up here, I think,
Well, there's an army checkpoint on the main road there, you see. All these wee back roads had been blocked and blown up on several occasions. They were reopened and different things, and that's the way it went on.
Was that made difficult then for you to try?
Well, it would made it. Really not for me, but for a lot of neighbour farmers around, it would mean a lot of difference to them.
Through
these old wee back roads.
But you didn't have difficulty in getting your cattle in or out?
Oh, no. Just they were separate animals. There was different herds in the north and different herds in the south. You see, it was different numbers.
Oh, yeah, but that was numbers. But, you know, when you were trying to bring them into this farm or bring them out of this farm, the roads weren't...
Well, luckily was no cattle. You'd have to have permits and papers for the cross the board, you know, for animals from north to south. But there was no bother, like, there'd be no hindrance at all, anything.
Yeah. You know? And, but it strikes me that people were really upset at the fact that you could be a farmer by day and then you could be a UDR man by night. And, people were... they were talking about the fact that this was difficult, you know, to live with and get on.
Yes.
But you can imagine that, I suppose, these families needed to protect themselves and needed to protect their own place. Yes. So that this is the way of doing it, I suppose.
Yes. Well, I never joined any regiment. Well, I was just living on the border and I didn't want to get involved in any arguments with my neighbours or anything, which I don't think would have affected a lot of my neighbours, whether I'd been on a force or not. It'd have been some outside ones that have come in to make the difference. My neighbours would not bother.
Yeah.
Now, whether you're on a force or not now.
And it dragged on for so many years. Did it leave an effect on you? I mean, were you...
Oh, yes, it would, yes. You'd wonder why all the people had to be killed and why all this had to happen or what type of people that went and done this and everything. You'd wonder that. A lot of people never asked any questions about it and everything else.
And people were kind of conscious of the fact that what was going on around them. So they kind of stayed quiet. They didn't... They kept their head down and got on with it. Was that something you did? No.
Neighbours would talk about things and talk about suspicious people and things and all that, but at the end of the day, they just kept clear, didn't get involved.
Yeah, I know.
At one time, I suppose, you couldn't speak out, or you'd maybe be asked questions about it or something if you did speak out or something.
Yeah.
You'd be... asked about it later, which I never happened to me, because I never got round. And I never had one thing with any neighbour. At a stage of my life, it'd been 90% of my whole neighbouring farmers would be Roman Catholics.
Yeah.
Never made any difference to me, nor I made no difference to them.
But that's it's fascinating that you should say that. But you never, like you say, you never spoke out, and you never gave them any reason, maybe to.
Yes. Well, often on times I would have conversation with some of the neighbours, and we would have discussions about some people, but that's as far as we'd ever go. We'd just have it be sealed between us then, like suspicious people that was doing things.
Yeah.
Names be mentioned between neighbours and people, but that's never went any further than that.
Yeah, but you kind of knew yourselves what was going on.
Oh, yes, your own, between the conversation. You'd have meet your neighbour and you'd have a conversation with him. You'd discuss something that happened maybe last night, and you'd maybe think of some suspicious people, or that's the way.
Yeah. And living with those people around you, though, it must have been nerve-wracking.
Yes. Well,
seeing fellas with guns going through the land and all that.
Yes. Oh,
you were going to say
you'd think about it then and all, what's all this about, or what's going to be the end of it, or things like that, eh? You'd think then the next day there'd be somebody on the news about somebody being murdered, and you'd get a bit high up of it or something like that, but then they all slip away.
And this was a constant day after day?
Yes, yes. I come in here into this farm here in the south one day, and I met the Irish army, and there'd been shots fired across the border over here at the British soldiers. Yeah, the IRA had fired shots at them across of a farm just out behind this one here. And they were going in to investigate two of these top ranks of the Irish army. And they told me, he said, we don't want these people around, they're ruining our country, the ones that's doing the shooting.
Go away.
Yeah, they said, we don't want them around, two lovely, big, respectable Irish army officers. And they chatted me for a while, and we got into a conversation about my brother Noel. We had some people's been away.
I know you. It's upsetting for you as well. Imagine.
Yeah. They said we didn't want them.
They didn't want them?
No, they didn't want the ones to go and mend it around. They were just examining whether they had, investigating whether they had fired shots from the south across there. On a wee back road, yeah, the British Army was around there and they fired shots.
The Irish Army did?
No, it was the IRA
fired the shots.
At the northern, at the British Army across the border. Just.
Yeah. And the Irish soldier, the two detectives?
Yes, they were in investigating the next morning or so after it all was over. And I met them here just on this where we are now.
And what did they say to you again?
They told me that they didn't want this, that there were no good to their country. They didn't want these mad boys with the guns at all. Yeah. Into a conversation then, and they asked me different, just doing an ordinary conversation, started talking about my brother, and they said they'd heard
they him. Knew about your brother.
Yes, they had known about.
Yeah.
And two lovely, respectable Irishmen.
I know, yeah. What age was your brother when he was killed?
52.
And was he, you say he was married with children?
Yes.
Was there anybody in the car with him, or was he?
No, we were at the auction, and he had went down to get into his car after the auction.
Where was the auction?
At Knocknany Rock, just out behind Derry Lynn there. Just.
Yeah. And got into his car, and that was it?
Yes. Just bomb went on off to need the car, and blowing half of him away.
My God. Yeah.
And he was an ordinary farmer. He was the very same as me. He had as many Roman Catholic friends as anyone else had.
Yeah.
And his funeral was attended by a lot of Roman Catholic people. They didn't want it either. A lot of people didn't want it.
Yeah. He just... the very fact that he was out...
They just knew that he was on... Yes, the wrong person knew that he was on some of the regiment and wanted just to have a go.
Yeah. And do you think he would have done anything wrong to have drawn to
well, he was a very staunch type of a person there. Mm. He'd ask a question, he'd like an answer if the cars were stopped in the road. Maybe if somebody gave him the wrong answer, he might need to look into the car or something then. That'd
go
be to
away.
Type him, yes. Yeah. Before he'd let them go in, they'd put them through the rooms, which maybe was right and which maybe was wrong, I don't know.
Isn't it extraordinary? And maybe some of these fellows that did join the EUD, or it was the extra few bob. And
Oh, yes, they wanted. There's money worth wanted at that stage, yes.
But what they were doing, were they... do you think that they were... Because you'd know the UDR better than I would.
Yeah.
Were they using their... power, or you know, the fact that they were wearing a uniform to harass people, or to
well, to meet them in a few people on a regiment of the UDR that would have went a wee bit too far, but a lot of them would have been all right. A lot of UDR people would have been all right, decent, respectable people. But there might have been the odd one then who just went too far, or just pushed the thing a bit too far.
Yeah,
give somebody a nudge or a box or something for maybe no reason. Some boy, that's my judgment of them.
I know. And but you also had the B specials, and you had the British Army and so on. But they were all doing their job, I suppose. They were all protecting the
British Army is on the main road down there, just here at Mullin here for I don't know many years, but there maybe for 10 or 15 years, 10 years anyway. they'd stop.
Were they
going
always
in.
The same kind of fellas there?
Ah, yes, a lot of them be all right, and a lot of them might leave the green light on. You might be stopped for extra time, maybe for no reason or something like that. But then you'd meet another. They didn't know. They actually didn't know which side of the border they were on. A lot of the time, that's my judgment. Some of them know that. I don't think even they cared.
Yeah. No. Talk to me about your farming again. Yeah, you've been farming since you were 14, you say, here.
Yeah, and last me whole, that's all I've done. Ever.
It's all your life, isn't it? Yeah. And is, you know, you have, you're not in touch with home now. Like, you live still down the road,
yes.
and the farm is here.
Yes.
But the It's purely just the farm. The houses are
Yes, well, I go to my home. I go to my home farm, like the big farms up on the mountain. I go to it every day. I'd go up in there every day. My son farms it, and the grandson, they work at it now. They're suckling cows and sheep.
Do you like the fact that it's staying on in the family? That it,
ah,
it,
yes, it,
it's
nice
still a Burley.
Doing bits of improvement.
Spent
the money.
Yeah. Is there money to be made in farming, though? You know,
it's a lot of hours and a lot of hard working.
Yeah,
the way everything's gone, there's a lot of regulations and papers now. It's terrible. Takes a young person now. She's all done on phones and computers now.
Are you old enough to remember the fairs? Did you bring your cattle to the fair?
Oh yes, in the Swallenbar Fair here. Every there was 13 public houses in Swallenbar, and now there's only two in it, and every fair day, every one of them public houses had a crowd of people, and the streets was lined with cattle and lined with people, sheep and pigs and all that.
Oh, full of life and
There was no word of any troubles then, not a thing.
Lots of banter going on with your neighbours, and you know, with the price of bargaining that you were trying to get.
Bargaining.
And then it all that stopped and changed, and then you had the mart. Where was the mart?
Dower Mart was there, and then Enniskillen Mart, Lisnaskey and some of those. Carrigallen Marty on the south, that was two, Dower and Carrigallen.
Yeah, and did you miss the fairs?
Yes, at one state, yeah. Then got into more regulations with cattle, you had to have them tested and tagged and all this stuff along then.
Yeah, it was an extraordinary coincidence how I met you this morning.
your
neighbour brought me up to you, and you know, you're a very honest, open man. You know, it's extraordinary the effect and if you like, you're a survivor of the troubles in that. You got through it, but your brother didn't.
Yes, oh no, terrible tragedies.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of ones round the borders got killed. Bullocks over there at Ahalain, him and his wife got mothers in the house shot down. They said his wife knew the people that shot him and they had to shoot over there.
Yeah, I spoke to June Bullock.
And they knew my brother and all well, all those people.
Did they?
Yeah, I knew some of them myself too.
And is there any monument or any is he remembered in any way?
No, not that I know of, no. There's some connection though, as the Bullocks now, I don't know whether it be.
No, I'm talking about your own brother. Is there any?
Oh, there's a wee monument in Florence Court Church, a wee memorial thing, just a wee plaque on the wall.
Yeah.
Names be read out in church, and I go to Florence Court Church on Remembrance Sunday. The names of all the ones who were killed around have been read out.
Oh, I see. So at least he's remembered. In that
there's a wee plaque on the church wall inside in the church.
Yeah. James, listen, I've held you up from your farming. It's lovely to talk to you.
Yes.
Could I ask you if... Do you still feel that there is a certain bit of tension around, or do you think... It's all gone now, or...?
No, there'd be still a little bit, but a small amount of people, very small minority of people would still want something awkward. But apart from that, majority of the people's freely to talk. I don't think that any of them has anything again one other now, not a thing in the world.
Yeah.
You could go into any bar or pub now and I don't think it'd make any difference.
Yeah.
Except a very, very odd one to make, want to make something different.
I know, and that's something I suppose that will go on for another while.
Oh, yes, yes, it's always somebody want to keep something, some little thing stored up.
Listen, I'll let you go.
You're all right.
I'll walk over with you, sure, and look at the your cattle. You have a bull in there, I noticed.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you keep a couple of sheep up the hill, do you,
yes,
as well?
Yes, a few sheep runs on the hill there. Suckling cows in there. The calves are sold and the cows are still there.
Yeah. But you couldn't retire from that. It's something that I'd say that they'll carry you out.
When you get out in the morning, you'd have to go somewhere.
James, I'll let you go. It's been lovely talking, and I'll come back to you. I know where you are now, and I'll have to come back and
All right.
And meet you again.